Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Here's part two of our chat with Liz Carr. If you haven't heard part one, you know what to do. Go back to the feed and click on part one first. It's most important that you do because she is a genius. I love her. Here's part two.
So you might remember that certainly in the UK, up until the early 90s, there would be a telethon. So there would be, you know, and they've gotten big in the States and all over the world. So a bunch of celebs are sort of answering the phone and doing all kinds of things. But often the images used, so we talked about earlier on about how I never really saw myself on TV and certainly relationships. I didn't have those role models. But often when you would see disabled people, it would be on the telethons. So we'd be wheeled out as kind of as objects of charity.
It was pity, wasn't it? It was always this.
Absolutely. In fact, once I didn't go, there was this massive, lots of my friends were there. And I was a fledgling activist at this point. This was in my first sort of 6 months. Right. And all my sort of heroes, they all went to telethon, to ITV studios, and they barricaded the building and had placards and did their own alternative entertainment.
Wow.
And it stopped it. I mean, it, because it was the worm turning. It was them saying, you're using us, you're using our image, and we're saying we don't want this.
Yes.
And telethon, I mean, there'll probably be other reasons why it stopped, but it was one of the most effective. And yeah, my friend John Smith got out of his chair. I mean, it was phenomenal.
And did that, what, like, that was actually whilst the telethon was going on, so it stopped people getting to the studio to be.
Yeah. Later that year, I did one of the Children in Need protests. It was one of the most aggressive experiences of my life. And I was staying at my mum and dad's. So I was at university in Nottingham. Mm. I'd gone to theirs, and we were going to a protest in Coventry. And they were doing the live broadcast, you know, where they go to different parts.
Yes.
And, you know, the live sort of thing, outside broadcast. And two things about that I'll never forget. I'm making the placard while I'm at home with my mum. And our mantra was piss on pity. Right. So I'm getting my mum to help me with the plaque on. She's like, it's a bit strong, though, dear, isn't it? I mean, could you just put poo on pity? It just hasn't got the same ring, mum.
And it's worse.
I'd rather be pissed on than shat on if we, you know.
Me
to
too.
Be fair, this is true. Yeah. Yes. Which is very revealing. And then
I'm terribly vanilla, Liz.
I'm not, but that's fine. And then we get there into Coventry, and it's like the police were there. And for the first time ever, the police were there to protect us.
Oh, that's
because
cool.
We were spat on. They threw coins on us. Because basically, you've got people who were raising money for people like me going, you ungrateful lot. We're doing this for you. How dare you do that? And it was the most aggressive protest I've ever been on. And the police protected us from the audience.
But you're sort of stepping outside of their narrative of what this is, rather than, and they're not going to listen to you if you say you don't like it. It's so mind-boggling.
Well, nobody likes sometimes to have either a truth or something that's uncomfortable. Your motives, why would you know any different? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. We don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I did the musical as well, in a way. It's like, think whatever you think about this as an issue. But I don't think that an alternative view is ever out there that's not religious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think there's an alternative that goes, as a secular, non-religious atheist person that cares very much about people, though, I don't think there's an alternative view. But there is a view, and you can oppose assisted suicide. And in the same way, there aren't alternative ways of looking at the world. not there in the media, not enough. So, you know, of course, we're given this idea that disabled people, they need charity.
Yeah.
I thought that. You know, I thought that growing up. I thought I wasn't going to have a partner. I would never be able to live on my own. I was the object of pity and charity. I believed that about myself. That horrible, you get it in the queer community, the gay community, that whole internalized depression.
Yeah. Mm.
Where you hate yourself and you hate the community you're part of.
Mm.
You know, and we see that, don't we? We see that in any group who's treated.
Marginalized groups, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm just curious that on the telethon things, in the live broadcast that was going on as you were protesting, did they actually mention what was going on or in any way acknowledge it?
Actually, I think they did, because I'm pretty sure, because sadly I wasn't there, but now I think that they actually got into the studio. So I think a little bit like, I think a little bit the lesbians did.
Oh, yes, with Sue Lawley. Was that with Sue Lawley?
Sue Lawley. Sue Lawley's lesbians.
For those of you who don't know, Sue Lawley was this posh newscaster lady on British on BBC. And one time when she was doing a live news broadcast, these lesbians stormed the studio. and didn't she kind of like, wasn't she like pushing one off with her arm off camera or something?
Yes.
Isn't it Sue Lawley? There's the sort of apocryphal tale about Sue Lawley left her... left her mic on, allegedly, for all the lawyers listening. The sound man heard her being entertained by a young gentleman. I'll leave it at that. And she, and the, apparently the phrase was, fuck me till I fart.
Ah,
fuck me till I fart.
The thing is, I can relate to that as somebody with IBS, that I actually say the opposite usually. And I usually just go carry on regardless, because it's just...
Otherwise we'll be here all night.
Well, we're here now.
Otherwise
we might as well.
Have sex, yeah.
I wanted to ask you as well about, you said at the beginning, Liz, about using the word crip or other words like that would... and sometimes would be offensive if it weren't a disabled people saying, claiming and all that stuff. And I'm really fascinated by that, because about the sort of nomenclature of disability. And because in the United States of America, where I live mostly, they still call it handicapped. And I find it really offensive. It's all handicapped bathroom, handicapped parking. You know, that word is still prevalent there. And I remember years and years and years ago, there was this thing called the Raspberry Ripple Awards, and it was an awards ceremony about...
I remember that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
And these awards were to sort of celebrate and thank people for positive images of disability. And I think I hosted the first awards. But it was interesting for me to sort of like, you know, because Raspberry Ripple is sort of like Cockney rhyming slang for cripple.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, is that all right? But actually, that's an interesting thing about claiming those things.
It's really hard at the moment, isn't it? It's like... usually it's other people from different groups who are like, you can't use that word. And I tend to find that those who it's they're about, words like crip and cripple, are usually fine with them.
Mm.
And so it is a word. There's something about it. When we used to use it on our podcast, it just felt so, I don't know, a bit like you were part of a club. You weren't doing it to be shocking, actually. Mm. You know, I know that the word can be, but it's just a sort of a shorthand. And I think the really tough thing is that language about whatever, whether it's about race or disability or whatever, is we just get so, to use a disability word, paralyzed by it. We just don't know. So then we stop. We don't, you know, my mum said to me, is coloured not okay anymore?
Mm.
And she says, I'm scared. I don't know what to say. And we talked about why. No, I mean, you know, there are far more offensive things.
Yeah.
And talked about that. And the same around disability. And the States is interesting, because I know lots of disabled people across the world, loads in the States, and but they're academics and they're activists. And so they use the correct term, and they're as horrified by words like handicapped. But that's kind of, you know, local government or the equivalent who are still using those words.
Oh, so they would like it to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
it doesn't mean at all that those who have had this sort of political awakening that I talked about and see disability as almost a capital D, as a political statement, that we're united by discrimination, really, whatever bit it is of you that doesn't work. That thing we share the experience of an ism, really. And so there's whole loads of people in the States that absolutely are not happy with that language. And So yeah, but so you're right about that completely. But they don't really do crip in the States.
No.
So, you know, we...
Is it sort of something about, in a way, shot at... When you, because you said it early on, and I sort of thought, oh, is it meant to shock a non-disabled person in a way, and also to kind of break the ice as well?
Maybe, you know, because of so many of the things we've talked about, and the way, and particularly, you know, I'm tiny, I'm like 4'6", I look really frail, and so people do not, if you don't know me, you don't expect what's going to come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to say something like that, when you see us as objects of pity, maybe, or tragic recipients of that kind of attitude, then actually to hear something quite shocking, I think people can be very affronted by that. And it can be very challenging. Even people who are, you know, in the very liberal,
yeah,
can feel, find
but
that.
Perhaps more so. Yeah.
I worked with... when I was directing TV commercials, there was a creative duo who come up with the ideas for the adverts called Chris and Pip. Chris is a man, Pip is a woman. And Pip has a stick. She uses a stick. I don't know why, like no one's ever talked about it. And I'd known them for a couple of months and we all got on like a house on fire. We were making a commercial together for Marks and Spencer's and they're just great fun. But they used to refer to themselves because they're a double act instead of Chris and Pip as Piss and Crip, just to wind people up. And when they did it to me the first time, I literally was like, whoop! Like I felt, you know, when you feel the air sucked out of the room, and I'm like, did she just say that? Or am I supposed to react? You know, because there's sort of a three-step thing, isn't it? It's like, you shouldn't say that. Actually, I'm being tested. Okay, how am I going to react? Do you know what I mean? It's funny.
It is really fun. I'm really fascinated by it. I mean, I think it's really great that there's some spirit about it. It makes you think about it at the same time as also enjoying the people who are the marginalized group, having fun with it. It kind of starts a dialogue in a way.
I guess it's about power, isn't it? And these little games of taking a little bit of power. So normally you're labelled. So I talked about how people are obsessed with what's wrong with me.
Mm, yeah.
They are. If you look at it in Google, it's kind of what's wrong? What condition does... That's what comes up pretty much first.
Mm, right.
You know, so when you then take some power around how you're described and how you're represented and the language around that, I think that's really important in your own kind of freedom and your own emancipation. I appreciate people will be offended by it, but I'm not, you know, the purpose is not to offend.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you know, our listeners listen to people on this show who represent a part of them that they can't see and hear elsewhere. And I wondered about the queer disabled community and if you found any good bonds in that world, and you know, and where do people go to find other queer disabled people who they can, you know, relate to in on that very specific thing?
Yeah, because I think, you know, I'd said about how before I was out and with my wife, I very much frequented gay space. Mm. And so many of my friends, one of my first loves was a guy who, when I said, look, you know, we'd entered the friend zone, and then I finally told him I wanted to go out with him. I was in love with him and he hung up on me. We were very, very close. And then he rings back and he says, I can't, thank you, but I'm gay and I've never told anyone.
Oh, wow.
And then he became out and was out and had loads of relationships and used Tinder and all the things that everybody else uses, and we were the greatest friends, you know. And until he died, that's why I'm saying the when.
Oh,
and and so lots of and so I've been around lots of very wonderful gay disabled people and part of that world. I guess the thing is you find yourself and you find each other. But there aren't that many spaces. There's like Regard, which is an organization that is about gay and lesbian disabled people. And that exists in the UK. Mm. But there's very few organizations. And of course, you know, the gay world is so fucking inaccessible. Mm. I mean, it really is. Yeah. And honestly, the gay male world, unfortunately, or an element of it, can be so horrifically obsessed with image, that you can feel so excluded from that. The body fascism aspect of it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But I'm thinking about as well, so a certain airline did a gay flight.
Oh, yeah, the Pride flight, yeah.
Now, we like doing anything like that. So we were like, we're going to get tickets. I'm quite competitive. So I made, you know, it was up on the day when the tickets became available, and we got tickets for me and Joe and a friend of ours, David James, who's brilliant American queer musical theatre guy. Love him. He helped me with the musical. He was then in the musical. He's the old guy in the musical that I do Me and the Pope with.
Okay, great. Yes. Yeah.
And he's like, he was 70 then. He's sort of 73 now. And I love David. And we went on this this flight together. And so we'd been promised Judy Garland sing-alongs, drag queen bingo. I know to some people that's going to sound like hell. to me and Joe, obviously we like camp and kitsch. It was our idea of great fun. Well, no, there was none of that took place. Really what took place is it was sort of like there was a DJ. There was a lot of beautiful people. It was about being seen, and it was about the influencers. So we happened to be in an area where all the influencers were, which was not fair because we just paid normal tickets like normal punters. Yeah. We weren't there because of me being on telly or anything. We were just there.
Just that word and, makes me, my toes curl.
Oh, influencer. I'm sorry I used it. I mean, I feel the same. I do. So everyone was there. Most people were there to be looked at. And David, well, the way that he was treated on that flight as a 70-odd-year-old man, gay man, going to something celebrating Stonewall, and he was in New York at that time, just broke my heart because he took his top off at one point, okay, on the flight. Mm. If he had been in his 20s and a bit of a twink, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
The phones would have been out. Everybody would have been Instering it and the whole wanky world of media and social media. Instead, occasionally people were filming him, but with a comedy look, with a look of, look at the funny old man dancing with the top off. And, you know, and they came and they had a rainbow flag, one of the air hostesses, and sort of wrapped it around him and all that. And I just thought, you know what, if you were anyone else, and if you were younger, you would be treated so differently.
Yeah.
And we felt, you know, however people would perceive me, but obviously I'm with a butch appearing lesbian, so we're holding hands. So whoever we are, as a three, in a row of three, we were persona non grata on that flight.
I'm so sad to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
And when we get to New York, one of the nights Grace Jones was playing, which, I mean, she blew my mind, by
Fabulous.
The way.
Fabulous.
But we, oh my God. But we get there and we've got, because of David.
And P.S., she's like 1,000 years old as well.
Oh, I mean, and she's still,
and she's gorgeous.
Hula hoops throughout the whole
song. The hula
song.
Hoop thing, when she did the entire song. Oh, I love that. And going up those steps as well. Does she have to do the step thing in the show?
Yes.
Oh, incredible.
And she keeps it going. I mean, her stage presence
Amazing.
Is gone on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even when she's going back to every song, pretty much, she changes her costume or puts a hat on or changes her shoes or whatever. But she's kind of on in a little tent at the side of the stage. And she continues. She's still
yes, that's
talking
right.
with
she's,
you or
yeah,
doing
when
something.
She's off stage. Yes. I love that.
I love that.
It's like the equivalent of going behind a, what do you call this, a screen, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those things like an old stripper would do, yeah.
So we go, so we're in New York, and you know, one thing that the states have, okay, they don't have a protection and a welfare state, but they do have a sort of civil rights-based approach. Mm-hmm. So their rights-based approach to disability discrimination is much stronger than it is over here in the UK.
Oh.
But we go there, and it's part of Pride. It's part of World Pride. There's no accessible toilets, and there was seating and seating area, and we wanted that for David. He wasn't going to stand for the rest of it, you know. It wasn't accessible.
Even on the
margins, and even when we're paying, mm-hmm. you know, this is really consumerist gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, you know, commercialized gay world is a whole different world, really. And it's so exclusionary. So,
wow.
Yeah. Lot of work to be done. That said, one of my happiest places, I love performing, and I love it, is like the RVT, the Royal Vauxhall Tavern.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my world. That's where I'm happy performing. And it's not accessible, the stage, but they will lift you up and make it possible and, you know, do the work. It doesn't always have to be perfect. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Again, it's about intention.
Yeah.
It's about feeling that you belong.
Yes.
So even if the access is rubbish, the fact that you're valued and wanted there, and people will do what they can to keep you there,
yes.
not because you're going to sue them,
yes.
and not because of money,
yeah.
but because they absolutely want you and your contribution.
You're part of the community,
that's,
you know,
yeah.
that,
part
isn't
of the
it?
Community.
It's like, and I've said this way too many times on this podcast, so I have to say it in 4 seconds, but like I have... When I walked into Ducky at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in London, I finally was like, now this I get, because it's a family and people are inclusive and different. And
weirdos
like,
as well.
Yeah,
like oddballs.
Yeah.
You know, I have a club in New York. Did you know that, Liz, called Club Cumming?
I know it because of Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. Touché.
I didn't know, but I did.
Yeah, but it's a sort of performance cabaret club. And I hope next time you're in New York, you'll come by and
I would
do a little set
that.
And you'd be most welcome.
So we saw you at Palladium.
Oh, did you?
About 4 years
Anna
ago.
Cumming Sing Sappy Songs.
Sing Sappy Songs, yeah.
Ah, so that's so nice you came. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fine. We waved, but you didn't wave back. So.
That was so fun that night. That was like, talk about terror. Like those places, those like when you walk along to go to the stage of the Palladium, go on the stage of the London Palladium, there's all big pictures of like Judy Garland and all these people who've performed there, you know, the legendary performances there. You're like, all right, you could just, you know, have nice wallpaper. We've got to wrap up in a minute, but I wanted to ask, how do you feel now in contemporary culture that representations of disability are, and has that improved, and what's to be done?
Oh, God, why do you ask me this when there's 4 minutes?
Oh, well, you're making a good hunger.
Yeah, not that important question about where's representation now. I guess it is better.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. I've just spent 8 years on a major BBC drama. Great. But that's the exception.
Silent Witness, yes, for those who don't know.
Silent Witness, sorry, yes, a forensics drama. Predates CSI, by the way. and, you know, and really fought for my character, Clarissa Mullery, to have a relationship and be seen as a sexual being. There was talk about her being a lesbian, actually, in that. And apparently they just thought that was far too much.
That was too many things.
Yeah. They thought it was too unrealistic. Well, I go home to a woman.
That's so funny. Unrealistic would not be the word I would think they would come up with. How funny.
I guess because if you don't see that many disabled women on TV and then you're making them a lesbian as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose
I guess their narrow view is, gosh, you're trying to tick all the boxes with one person.
Right.
But in terms of realism, we do come in all shapes and sizes, and that's me and my reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm married to a woman. Mm. So, but yes, but it was really important, and I forced the portrayal of my character with a husband. So that was better than nothing. Because and just a normal relationship. I mean, your ups and downs of average life, rather than a fraught, because I'm disabled, no one will love me, which we feel, but we think that ourselves anyway. So we don't need that reinforced.
Mm, right.
Yep. We need to see gay or queer or disability relationships where it's not always angst-ridden because who'd
but
be
as
with
it,
people
as it
like
should
us.
Be rather than as it is.
Absolutely, how it should be and could be,
yeah.
I think. So there is that. I'm going to be in my first Hollywood film.
What's that?
It's called Infinite, and it's an Antoine Foucault film with Mark Wahlberg and Sophie Cookson and Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, wow.
It's
wow.
big. And I don't know that anybody that looks like me without prosthetics has ever been in a film like that, right. to be honest.
Yeah.
Right. If anyone thinks they have, I mean, I hope they have.
Maybe they'll write in and tell us.
Oh, they'll tell us.
But please do, because I don't think, and it's also, it's an action film, but a lot of the kind of the key people are not, like there's a trans person in it, but, you know, yet it's also the genre and the director and people in it. It's very kind of very traditional.
Wow, that's great.
Really great people in it. Mm. So little by little,
yes.
not enough, not quick enough. But, want more, always
but greedy. An upward curve.
Yeah, probably.
It's like a wedge. Probably. It's a wedge.
A wedge.
It's a wedge. More than a liberal wedge. Yeah. Yes. No, upward. Maybe it's a very slow. I'll take that. Yes, absolutely.
And speaking of wedges, I wanted to ask you about kink, because you've mentioned it a couple of times. And right. I feel like it's a part of culture and queer culture that is often shrouded in it has to be done in after dark and, you know.
Yes, because you said you were very vanilla.
I'm terribly vanilla. I think it's important to be
really?
Honest.
I'm terribly vanilla.
Terribly vanilla.
That was such a vanilla thing to say.
It was, isn't it? Ever so vanilla. But, you know,
should I explained.
But if you'd like to show me something else, yeah. Yeah. Sure, I was open to
listen. It. Well, maybe we should explain to people what we're talking about. Vanilla meaning kind of a more yes. straightforward sexual
yeah.
Practices.
Yes, and kink. How would you define kink?
Kinky would be probably any sort of thing that you might derive pleasure from that's outside of the normal ways of procreating, in a way, of just having sex for having kids
mm.
or having regular penetrative sex, I would say. Mm. It's kind of anything beyond that. It could be it could be getting off because somebody on tickling. It could be having yes. somebody stand over you. It could be having somebody hurt you. It could be having someone caress you. I mean, it's many, many things.
Mm.
And I think it does have a until sort of 50 Shades came
yes.
out, it had very much a kind of whore behind closed doors and a bit of a dirty old man
yeah,
view to
yeah.
it.
Which it shouldn't.
Which it shouldn't, because if it's consensual and you're in a couple or whatever, or you're doing something that you want to do that gives you pleasure or gives somebody else pleasure, mm. then I think it's
great.
Absolutely fine.
And also people yeah. aren't honest about it. Like, do you know Esther Perel, that sex relationship therapist?
I don't know.
You'd love she's great. She's this French lady, and she just is so frank about sex of all kinds.
Yes.
I really think she's amazing. She has a podcast.
She does.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah. She says, because one thing is about kink, is I think that people reveal them slowly or don't feel they can quite deep into a relationship, and therefore they're not, you know, they're not exploring stuff that they should absolutely be able to explore. And she's like, she has this thing that you have to get your kinks out straight away. So you've got to say on the first time you have sex, I just, you know, I love a finger up
I
my
want
bum.
You to do
or
that.
I love a dot,
yeah.
dot, dot. Or
yeah.
yeah, because. There's freedom
that's
in that
really
and there's nothing yes. to be ashamed of.
And it's like your
well,
wife.
Think,
it's like your wife. She got it.
Absolutely. Straight. She was like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I mean, who's not attracted to that?
No, I think it's great.
So
be direct.
I think that kink for me and for some of my community, disabled people, was just so much more welcoming.
Oh, really?
Because if you're not, you know, if you're into the same way of having sex, and maybe your body can and can't do that,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so you might experience pleasure in a different way.
Yeah.
You might do after an accident or something happens. But if you think that sex has to look a certain way,
yeah.
a mainstream view of sex, a vanilla view of sex, then you've got no sex life.
Mm.
But if actually you can experience pleasure in many, many different ways,
yeah.
then
opens
so it's
up
always
somebody.
A natural crossover, really, with kink, I think.
Yeah.
And also, you know, one of the things that I love about being a disabled person, I really do, is that the expectations on me are so low. I mean, they really are. Surviving is about enough, okay? And I put them on myself as well when I was growing up, as we talked about.
Mm.
But when you have no expectations, nobody expected me to get married. Nobody expected me to have kids. Nobody expected me to be in a Hollywood movie.
Mm.
No one expected me to, whatever it is. Then actually, you can do anything. Mm. And right. You can be anything because you don't have to do things in the same way. So sort of as an example, our wedding, we just tore up and did it our way, really, and kind of picked the bits we liked and threw in lots of things that people don't normally do. And we could do that. We didn't wear the white dresses and we didn't have the same kind of music, the selection of five that people have. I mean, so using low expectations and almost non-expectations about you is kind of liberating if you're able to take advantage of that and you're afforded the opportunities. I feel very lucky that I've had either people around me or the opportunities that I could kind of go and go, do you know what? Since nobody expects me to be anything, then I don't have to be anything. I don't have to be a lawyer and follow my law degree. I'm just going to go and work for a law centre and then break the law. And then I'm going to fuck around for a few years and do nothing. Maybe do a bit of comedy. No expectations. And I bet you, if I was a non-disabled woman, if I became disabled at 7, I bet you if that hadn't happened, I wonder what my life would have been like in a sliding doors way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very different.
Very different.
So. No way near as amazing. I would guess.
Who knows?
Liz, this has
Don't
been so.
Don't call me inspirational.
Oh, you're such an inspiration. You're such an inspiration.
Isn't she just an inspiration? No.
That's so funny. She said, don't call me inspiring because I was about to say it. But she is.
It's so
she
funny.
Is inspiring. That last thing she was saying about the life she might have had and how the sort of when there's no low or zero expectations of you, how liberating that can be and the life you can have.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible, an incredible insight and just a total hood.
She's such a love, isn't she? And just someone who clearly thinks about why are things like this and is that right? And
yeah,
those are the people we can always learn from. I'm just, I don't know, Absolutely. I've got a crush on her. I always have. Like the first time I ever encountered her, saw her online or whatever, I was just like, yeah, it was just really fun to sit and chat.
And after we finished recording, her wife came on for a photo and to say hello. And that was hilarious. That banter was hilarious. She said that her wife had said, do you mind if I stay in the room? Will that put you off? And she said, only if you masturbate.
It's also like they clearly really adore each other. They were sort of giggling and like, I love seeing seeing people, two people in love is such a lovely thing to watch, isn't
it? It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was and just from the word go, the first I came on this, we see the guest on Zoom and we record it separately, of course, but the first thing is this big yellow feather boas behind her.
Yeah.
On the end of our wheelchair. I just thought, oh, I'm going to like you.
Totally.
Anyway, if you would like to... Actually, there's a lot of questions in that interview that would be... I'm sure people have got a lot of feedback and a lot of... maybe they could fill us in on some of the things we were not clear about.
Absolutely.
You can write to us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com. And that would be great. Let's hear your opinions and your thoughts.
Or you can contact us at Homo Sapiens on Instagram or Homo Sapiens Podcast on Facebook. There's a Facebook group you can join.
And also you can subscribe to us. Oh, there's a squirrel outside my window.
That's sorry. Not a squirrel. I didn't even know what it
Sorry about that. I got to start. You can subscribe as well, of course, and tell your friends. And, spread the Homo Sapiens word.
Please do. And thank you so much for listening.
And we'll be back next week with the Homo Sapiens Extra. Hope we'll be inside your oral cavity then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.